The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now, a little earlier in the programme, I was joined by an all-star legend in Paul Murphy. We've stepped it up for the last hour of the programme. We are joined by a father and son, All-Ireland winning duo, Richie Power Senior and Richie Power Junior. You're both so very welcome to Millers and to the Hard Shoulder.
Thank you, Ciara.
So look, when people hear about a father and son both being champions, I'll think they'll probably wonder, it's genetic, isn't it? It has to be. That's why I was never a winner. I just didn't have that All-Ireland support behind me. Is it genetic because you have another son who's pretty good as well, Richie?
Sure, look at the...
And no modesty, as I said before.
Hurling, I suppose, was a huge part in our household growing up. And I suppose, naturally enough, then, you know, if kids come along, you know, they take the hurling in their hand. And Suzanne and Stephanie was as good at the camogie. You know, they really enjoyed playing it. The five of them were together, and, you know, it was a good way of bringing them up, and it was a great way of looking after them.
Yeah. Was it something that you as a parent were conscious of? Look, if I can get all these children into the GAA, if I can get them with a hurl in their hand, it's pretty good for kids. You know, it tends to keep a lot of kids, I think, on the straight and narrow during some of those kind of difficult teenage years in particular.
Yeah, look, I believe myself sport is huge. In any kids growing up, you know, let it be whatever sport, you know, whichever road they go down. And we didn't necessarily put the gun to their head and ask them to, you know, to play hurling. They made that decision themselves. Jamie was the eldest, and he made that decision. And I think Richie and John followed suit. But look, it's hugely important when you're rearing a family that you have them involved, particularly in team sport.
And it brings the family together, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's really bonding for a family if lots of people are involved in the game.
Yeah, and look at the four or five of us got together in the parish, and, you know, and we put a huge amount of hours and hours and hours of work into a group of lads, you know. And looking back on it now, you'd be delighted to have been part of that, because you kept an awful lot of lads, you know, you kept them in the playing field, and they came to be teenagers, they came to be young men, you know, and to play a part and bring them through. You know, he always got great enjoyment out of that.
Now, Richie, your dad said there that he never forced a hurl into your hand. You could have played anything you wanted. But would you really have come home with a basketball or a soccer football one day and said, Dad, this is the game for me?
probably not, no. But I suppose, look, as Dad said there, you know, I would have played a bit of soccer when I was younger, played a bit of Gaelic football, you know, tried my hand at a lot of sports, you know, and growing up, which was great because, you know, I suppose... Growing up in Stonyford here, we obviously had the primary school, and, you know, every evening after school we used to come down the road here and turn right down to the community centre, the pitch down there, and just spend hours upon hours playing. As I said, it wasn't necessarily hurling every day, but it was just, you know, kicking a ball around with the boys and just enjoying it, really. So, but look, I think as Dad said, hurling's definitely in the DNA in Kilkenny, but I suppose in our family, definitely for us as kids, you know, watching Dad hurl for Kilkenny was probably the flame that lit under us, you know, to maybe follow suit. So, you know, the three boys we were lucky enough to do that.
And do you remember those days? Do you remember as a family going to those matches and seeing your dad play and thinking, I'd like me a bit of that someday?
I suppose, being honest, vaguely, you know, because I would have been probably quite young.
Very young.
You know, I would have been young, but like I would have sat down, you know, for years watching back over All Ireland's at home. Like I go into the playroom on my own and just watch GAA Gold and these games and just absolutely love it, you know. And, you know, the rivalry that with Kilkenny and Cork had back then, and even the Gaelic football, I loved watching Dublin Kerry rivalry, you know. It was just so ingrained in it and engulfed in it, but definitely, yeah, just I suppose seeing Dad win All Ireland's and you know, probably his last, he won one in 92, but in 91 they lost to Tipperary, and I kind of vaguely remember that and the disappointment when we got back to Kilkenny. You know, I definitely still have, you know, small memories of that one.
Tell me about watching those games, you know, as a young child. For you, were you watching them because you just love the energy and the buzz of watching, you know, maybe a big All-Ireland final, or were you actually trying to learn? Were you constantly trying to better yourself? Did you have an ambition to get on the county team?
Yeah, I think probably a bit of both, you know, because there were some unbelievable games. But obviously then, you know, as I said, once I started to kind of get a little bit older and the skills started to come a little bit more naturally, you know, obviously the ambition was to try and follow in Dad's footsteps, but, you know, hopefully play for Kilkenny one day. Like, it was never guaranteed or anything like that, but a lot of hard work. And, you know, Dad would have put, as he said, a huge amount of work into a group of us here in the club in Carrickshock. And, you know, we were really successful at underage. And, you know, probably four or five of us went on to wear a Kilkenny jersey.
Wow. So you did well. Richard, yeah. You knew your stuff. All those hours put in here training young fellas actually really did pay off.
Yeah, but sure, look at it. You know, if you put the work in the field, and I have to say, the group of guys that we had, you know, it didn't matter what we asked them to do. And we were lucky enough to come and win 2 16 Ryan A's and two minor Ryan A's. First time the club ever achieved it, like, you know. So, you know, we got them together, and it kind of built a bit from that. And Forum then went on to represent Kilkenny, you know. And we'd be a small enough club. And down through the years, you know, any time that we have a nice bunch of guys, we always, you know, we always contribute to the county setup. You know, and we have some good young lads coming again at the moment now, so hopefully they can move on and wear the county jersey.
You've eyeballed a few potentials, have you? You've noted a few. You think you've got county colours.
Look at it. You know, it's like every club, and Kilkenny is a small county, and I'm always saying that. If you compare Kilkenny to the Galways or the Tipperary's or the Cork, you know, we've only 12 senior clubs, 12 intermediate clubs, so...
Which makes the success that you have achieved all the more
phenomenal. It's huge for a small county like what we have achieved, you know. And that's why it's so important that every club in Kilkenny is producing a county player, you know, every now and again, like, you know, because the county needs that, you know, to put a good senior team together.
Richie Jr. there mentioned going to see one of the years that you won in the early 90s, I think he said 92, was it? But in the previous year, 1991, you lost. Do you remember that? And what do you take from the games you lose, never mind the ones that you win?
Look, at my home place would have been very close to Carrick on Shore. So, Lord have mercy, my father and mother, like, they would have gone into Carrick nearly as often as we'd have gone into Kilkenny City, like. So, you know, that one is the one that I really would have loved to win, you know, because the fact that we were living so near Tipperary, and we hadn't actually met him. We hadn't met him at all in the 80s, you know, so Tipper was starting to come at that particular time. And look, it could have gone any way on the day. You know, I ended up on John Lachie that day, and John and myself were on the road in opposition with two drinks companies. So I knew John pretty well, you know. But Tip got the better of us on the day. But yeah, I finished then in 92. I had to come out. My grinds were giving me serious trouble. So I knew 92 was going to be my last year, and I didn't make the final. I was injured coming into the Leinster final, so I didn't get in. But look, I had great innings. You know, I went in 79, so we had 13 or 14 years. We weren't as lucky as these lads. They won 8 out of 10. We were lucky to get 3 out of 12 or 13, you know. So.
But do you look at what the generation now has in terms of the support, the training, the nutrition, you know, all elements of what it takes to be a big player are now being addressed? Whereas I'd imagine you guys just turn up, throw on a pair of boots, and out you go and give it everything.
That's probably the one thing that I always say. You know, there were great players on the team, like you had Billy Fitz, Liam Fenley, Frank Cummins, Ger Henderson, you know, Joe Hennessy. I'd love to have seen them getting the training that the guys are getting today. You know, like, I'd love to have gone through for a couple of years just to see what to have, you know, how to bring on or how far to bring on, you know. But look at...
Did anybody ever talk to you about diet or exercise or building muscle or strength training or conditioning, or did you do any yoga and Pilates here in the 80s?
The first day I used to go back training was the day after Stephen's Day. I used to jump the ditch above in Stonecarty, and it was a 13-acre field. And that's where I used to start training before Pat Henderson would bring us in, you know. But that's the way it was then. That's, you know what I mean? That's the way every county was being prepared at that particular time. But look at it, and it has brought the game to an unbelievable height. So it's great to see.
I mean, speaking of unbelievable heights, Richie, you played in 9 All-Irelands and won 8 of them. Now, I said to you, you then don't really know the true pain, as I do from Donegal, of an All-Ireland defeat. It's absolutely devastating. You got one taste on one occasion.
Yeah, I did, and probably the one that really kind of sticks out, I suppose, going for five in a row in 2010. But yeah, I suppose, look, I just look back at my time and just, I suppose, how lucky I was to come with such a great bunch of players. You know, real generational team, and we just kind of kept, there was always two or three kind of being fed into the setup, which really pushed us, the guys that were already in there. So look, I couldn't have asked for much more.
Did you ever get advice from your dad? What was the dynamic like?
Yeah, I did, of course. Probably there was once or twice that I didn't listen to him, and I remember a league final back in 2005 or 2005, I think. And I was sick the week leading up to the league final, but I went in the Friday night to train, and I told Brian that I was good to go, which Dad told me not to do. And I went and I hurled and was taken off after 20 minutes, I think. So
you weren't good to go.
No, I wasn't good to go. But I think after that one, then I listened to him a good bit more. But look, as I said, it was brilliant to have Dad there as a sounding board, having been through it all. So, you know, for me to have that was huge, you know, and a huge influence, like, as I mentioned earlier on, in relation to my younger years. You know, I suppose without the time that Dad and, you know, there was multiple others, Jimmy Sheen, Jimmy Dwyer, like the time they put into us as young kids, teenagers, you know, that definitely helped with my development and to what I achieved further down the line.
Well, those people are really the backbone of GAA communities, aren't they? These people who volunteer week in, week out to bring young people along. One of the other, I suppose, backbones is GAA referees and the need for them, particularly in local communities. Do you worry at all sometimes, Richie, when you see how they're being treated? You know, there's more and more talk nowadays about the respect, or perhaps lack of respect, that we see on the sidelines for referees and for their decision making.
Yeah, I think the one person that I wouldn't like to forget is Richie's mum. Like, she put in a huge amount of time and effort in them years, you know, when they were all grown up. Like, so, you know, it's a combined effort. I'd love to see the day coming where GAA players can tolerate the way rugby players respect referees. You know, the respect that rugby players have for referees is massive, and that's where the GAA should be aiming to get to. You know, you have to respect the people that's blowing the whistle, because you're not going to have games if you don't have referees, you know. And I'd love to see the day coming where players can get to that level and respect the referees like rugby players do.
I think it's a great point to leave this lovely conversation on. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hand together for the Richie Powers. Lovely. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.